my dreams. Baby, you sure enough couldn't tell me anything. Family and friends trying to tell me he's not the one. Even get depressed, dealing with the stress of divorce. Yeah. But Jesus put my life right back on course. I know he'll do it.
Oh, yes, he will.
I know he'll do it.
Oh, yes, he will.
I know he'll do it.
Oh, yes, he
every
will.
Every time I run around
up. Every time I run around, he's making a way.
I know he'll do it.
Oh, yes, he will.
I know he'll do it.
Oh, yes, he will.
Yo, yo.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Amen. Can we give our youth a hand? Amen. Thank God for our youth, amen, on this morning. How many of you believe that God's way is better? Amen. Amen. No matter how many times we try to do it our way, God's way is always better. Amen. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, God, for another opportunity, oh God, to share what you have given me with your people, oh God. I pray, Lord God, that every heart, every spirit, oh God, and ear be receptive, oh God, to what you're going to speak this morning. We just thank you, Lord God, for who you are in our lives. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We just thank you, God, for what you want to do in this place today, oh God. And we just thank you, God, for just your mercy, for your grace, for being God and being God all by yourself, oh God. We thank you for your word, oh God, that changes our lives, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for your son who you sent to die on the cross for our sins, oh God. And Lord God, we just thank you for great and mighty things that you have already done in our lives, oh God, and for great and mighty things that you will continue to do in our lives, oh God. We give you the praise. We give you the glory, oh God. We come against every spirit, oh God, that will want to come to hinder your word, hinder your people, oh God, in this place today, oh God. And we're going to lift you up. We're going to give you glory. We're going to give you praise. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place to do what you want to do, how you want to do it, as long as you want to do it. And we just give you the praise. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Good morning. Truly, every time I stand before you, I always, I don't take it lightly, and I don't take it for granted, the opportunity to stand before you and to give you what I believe that God has given me. So giving praises to God, to Pastor Hams for allowing me to stand in this place this morning, and to all of you, my brothers and sisters, God is good. God is good. Everything just lined up with the word. The songs, the testimony, everything just lined up with the word. So it make me feel like I'm on track, you know, and I'm not off track. And we truly do thank God, because how many have tried to give up or wanted to give up or wanted to throw in the towel along your journey? Amen. Amen. Truly, it is a blessing to be here. If you have your Bibles, we have two passages of scripture that we'll be coming from today. The first one will be Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, the 18th through the 19th verse. And I'll be reading out of Life Application, so it'll read a little different from King's Version. Probably a lot different. When you have it, say amen. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do a brand new thing. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness for my people to come home. I will create rivers for them in the desert. And if you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And it reads, what this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore. For the old life is gone, a new life has begun. And you may be seated. And we thank God for his word on this morning. And the subject that I have this morning is a fresh start. How many need a fresh start? And when you think about a fresh start, that means just starting all over again. Because on our Christian journey, a lot of times, things can happen. Life happens. Circumstances arise. Situations arise. We may lose our faith along the way. We may want to throw in the towel. As Sister Tasha said this morning, sometimes you just want to give up, you know, and not try again. Sometimes we feel like we're a failure. Sometimes we feel like we don't measure up. All of these things happen on our journey. I'm looking this morning, it's just a diversity of people that's in the room. We got mothers. We got fathers. We have business-minded people, we have entrepreneurs, we have teachers, we have nurses, and it could go on and on and on. We have our young people here this morning, which are students. We have psalmists. We have everything. And most of all, I pray that all of us in here this morning are God's people. Amen. Amen. So at least one or two have something in common. Okay? And though we are different, we all do different things. Some are nurses, some are teachers, whatever it is that you may do. And in doing those different things, a lot of times we try to control the situations. We want things to go how we want it to go on our jobs, in our homes, even in the church. You know, we want things to go how we want it to go. As a people, we love control. Before we accepted Jesus Christ, those of us that have accepted him, we were in control of our life. We were doing what we wanted to do, when we wanted to do it, how we wanted to do it, as long as we wanted to do it. It didn't matter, you know, what we did, long as I did it my way, or I was doing what I wanted to do. We were in control of our lives. And what I'm trying to get to this morning is that those of us who have confessed that Jesus Christ is our Lord, we still trying to control our lives. And today God wants to give all of us a fresh start. Because when we hold on to control, we want to control so much of our lives and then let God control other parts of our lives. But this morning, all I come to say is that we have to surrender every bit of our lives unto the Lord. And he's here to give us a fresh start, if you want that fresh start. Now, does that mean you're going to be perfect? No. Because we all mess up, Lord knows. I done messed up. And guess what? I still mess up. And you do too. The worst thing you could do is to accept Jesus and then act like you perfect. And walk around and act like that you ain't never did nothing wrong and that you still ain't doing anything wrong. But the thing of it is, we can't get comfortable in doing wrong. We can't get comfortable in it. You got to come to yourself and realize that, God, this is not who you made me to be. This is not who I am. You know, you have more for me. You have better for me. And so a lot of times we'll settle and live beneath, you know, our means, because we all can do better. They just got through singing, God's way is always better than ours, because we think we know. And I stand here and say that sometimes we think we know more than God, that we think we have a handle on everything better than God have a handle on it. But we soon find out, don't we? So no one is perfect. When you make a mistake, The first thing the enemy is gonna whisper in your ear is that, see there, you ain't nothing. See, God, you walked around, and maybe you declare who God says you are, or maybe you believe who God says you are. But when you, the first mistake you make, then here come the enemy telling you, see there, That's who you thought you was this, you thought you were that. We worry about that. We entertain what the enemy speaks to us, because he play with the mind. The mind is a terrible thing to waste, but the battlefield of our mind is where Satan have a field day. This is why when you accept Christ, you become a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when I look at Isaiah 43, when God was talking to Isaiah was giving what God had given him for the children of Israel. And if you know the children of Israel, they were back and forth. They'll do right for a minute, then they'll mess up again. They'll do right for a minute, then they'll mess up again. God tell them to go left, they'll go left. Then on down the road, God say go left, they're going to go right. Same thing we do. It reminds me of us today as God's church, the body of Christ all over the world. And then Isaiah was reminding them, in the 42nd chapter, it talks about how God was reminding, or he was letting them know who he was. I am your Redeemer. You know, although he allowed, we had it in Sunday school this morning, that God allowed things to happen in our lives. And I believe that he allows those things to happen not to hurt us, you know, not because he doesn't love us, because he want to teach us how to trust him. He want to teach us how to depend on him. He want to teach us how to look to him, you know, instead of looking to everything else, you know. So he allows things to come into our lives so that we can be better for him. That God, I don't know, I'm going to quit trying to figure this out on my own, you know, and I'm going to pray to you, and I'm going to give it to you. Which way do I go? Lord, what should I do? But instead of us praying, we think we have a handle on it. That's the control part, you know. So I'm going to ask God for certain things to help me with, but then certain things I feel like I can handle. You know, so I'm going to control that part, you know. But this is what God was speaking to Isaiah, and Isaiah was telling the people. God told them and reminded them about how he had led the children of Israel, the Red Sea experience. We all familiar with that. The Red Sea experience when Pharaoh's armies was after God's people, and God opened up the Red Sea. All they had on each side was walls, you know, and they walked through on dry ground. Nobody but God could do that. Now, that was awesome, wasn't it? And it's something to always be remembered, right? And this is what Isaiah was telling them. Don't forget it. But then God was letting them know, you can't get by on what I did. Because I'm about to do a new thing that's going to far outweigh the Red Sea experience. So I don't want you to get hung up right there. Because there's some more stuff that I have for you. There are some more things that I want to do in your life. And if you get stuck and hung up on what I have done, then you're going to miss out what I have for you. And so this is what Isaiah was saying, and this is what God was saying to the children of Israel. He allowed them to go. At this time, they were in captivity. And God was about to bring them out of captivity. It was God that allowed them to go into captivity. And so then he tells them in verse 19 that I'm about to do a brand new thing. And he's telling them, see, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I'm going to make a pathway through the wilderness or the desert. And if you know anything about the desert, it's a hot place. It's a dry place. It's a barren place. No water or anything. But you remember when Moses struck the rock and water came out? Everything that the children of Israel needed, God provided. You know, so this is what, in the desert place, God was letting them know that I'm going to take care of you. In our lives, we get in some dry places. We get in dry places. It's not God's fault. I'm not going to even say it's the enemy's fault. It's choices that we make because we're trying to control things and we're making decisions without consulting or seeking God first, you know, and then we get ourselves in a pickle, you know, and then we don't know how to get out of it. You know, then we call on the name of the Lord, which we should call on the name of the Lord before we take a step or do anything, and then God asks God to give us direction. You know, so no, as I said, no one is perfect. He told them that he was going to do a brand new thing. He's already begun it. Has he already begun doing something new in your life already that make what he did yesterday look like, wow, it'll blow your mind, the things that God have in store? And he's not going to stop right there. There is more and more and more that he wants to do. And I'm going to get to it, you know, but there are some things we got to do. You know, he asked him, do you not see it? So I asked y'all, do you not see the new thing that God wants to do? Do you not see, even in the body of Christ, do you not see it? We play these church games. We play these games in the church. Well, Cynthia, how you know games being played? Because I played them when I was in the world. And the world is taking over the church. And I see the same games that I used to play in the world being played right here in the church from believers. It's not unbelievers that's playing them. It's believers that's playing them. God is not pleased with that. You can have a fresh start today and shut that down. Because you don't have to answer to me, but you're going to have to answer to God for that, because nothing gets by him. I might not see it all, but he sees everything. Okay? That's where we mess up at, because we want to have it our way. We want to control certain things. You know, God is the owner of everything in the church. This is even his church. This is not Pastor Ham Church. God called him to lead his church. Don't get it twisted. All of us are stewards of God's house. Nothing in here belongs to us. But we want control, and we fight for control so much that guess what we start doing? We start sabotaging ministry. We start fighting ministry. We start, but you are you really fighting ministry or sabotaging ministry? No, you sabotaging what God want to do. You fighting what God wants to do. And if I was you, or if it was me, I would be very, very careful of what God would do, because his church is going to move on. And God will move his church on. You'll still be sitting in his church, well, in this building, playing them games, and the church done moved on, and you ain't got left behind. Or Ananias and Sapphira spirit. See, we play with God because we know God is loving, God is merciful. Sure he is. Yes, he is. He's a merciful God. He loves us. But you keep playing and kicking up against what he wants to do, then guess what? You're going to find yourself in a world of trouble. Because even if I do anything to you, I'm not doing it to you. I'm doing it unto God. That's what the word says. Anything you do to me, you're not doing it unto me. You're doing it unto God. No, so a lot of times we want to control things. We want to have it our way. You know, so God told them that he's going to prepare a pathway through the wilderness for my people to come home. And so God had chosen Israel as his very own people. God had chosen Israel to be witnesses to a world about who he is. So he chose them, he made them, he built them into a people that he would have them to be, and they were to spread the gospel everywhere about who God is. Okay, so this is why he chose them. But he told them that I'm gonna prepare a pathway through the wilderness for my people to come home. He said he was gonna create rivers for them in the desert. Now, you know a desert is a dry place. So if God is gonna create rivers in the desert, in a dry place, that means you're gonna have everything that you need. Now, he didn't say anything about food here, but I'm quite sure if he did manna from heaven, he gonna supply them something to eat too. Because a pathway, if you follow the pathway seeking God's direction, and if you follow the pathway that he has created, you ain't gonna lack nothing. Everything you need is gonna be provided. Even if I'm in a desert place, even if I'm in a low place, even if I'm depressed, even if I can't figure it out, even if I don't know what's going on, if I just seek God and just follow his path, he's going to lead me and provide everything I need while I'm even in that place. I don't have to be jumping and shouting. I don't even have to be in a good place, but God's going to provide everything that we need. And so this is what he was telling them. He was reassuring them. He had already told them that I am your redeemer. You know, I am your God. You are my people. You belong to me. Same thing he's saying to us this morning. I am your God. You are my people. You belong to me. You don't belong to yourself. Once you chose me, you became mine. And then it's got some more that ain't even chosen yet. They his too. And they coming. So, yes, I will make springs in the desert so that my chosen people can be refreshed. Isn't it amazing that once you done come out the desert, once you done come out the valley, that how God could just refresh you, that you'll have such a peace, you know, that, you know, it'll make whatever you was, that desert experience or that valley experience look like, man, I just read too much into that. It really wasn't big as I thought it was. Because the enemy will magnify stuff to make it look like that it's bigger than what it is. But God is greater than anything that we can face or that we can go through. You know, so it was an exodus again for the children of Israel coming out of Babylon. You know, because Babylon meant to destroy them, but God, y'all say, but God, he been a but God in your situations? When it looked like it wasn't no way out, But God, he showed up, and he gonna always show up on time, you know. So God was about to deliver them from captivity, you know. And that's one thing about God. If God says that he's gonna do a thing, he's gonna do it. Now, it might not happen tomorrow, next week, or whatever, but see, that's where he builds our faith and our trust in him. If he said it, you can believe it. You can count on it. You can take it to the bank. And you ain't got to wait till you get it. You can go ahead on and praise him right then. You can praise him for it. That's faith. You know, so we have ran into roadblocks in our lives. And maybe, perhaps, the roadblocks wasn't exactly roadblocks. Maybe they were in disguise of something better that was coming your way. But we focus on what it looked like, you know, instead of focusing on what lesson can I learn from this? Well, why did this happen? You know, and it's okay to question God, because Lord knows I do. Because I, in my own language, I don't understand what you're doing. Do you hear me? Sometimes he answer, sometimes he don't. You know, you have your own language with him. I got mine. It might be kind of ghetto, but I promise you he understands. You understand what Cynthia be talking about. Yeah, and I probably be looking crazy too. Now, Lord, what's really going on? You know, all right. You know, but sometimes we be afraid to let go of the reins of control because we're afraid of the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, and that's the difference with the children of Israel. They seen what God can do. They seen the mighty power of what he could do. And then Isaiah is telling them, I'm about to do something new. That God said he's about to do something new. Don't you see it? You know, I've taken care of you all while you've been in captivity. You ain't went without nothing. How many of you know that God will cause your enemies to bless you? Those that may be against you, God will cause them to bless you. You know, because it's God that's in control. You know, it's him that's in control. But a lot of times, we try to hold on because we fear, because of fear. Shanee, Bible study, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. You know, so if you're operating in fear, then you know that ain't from God. So don't just sit there or stand there or whatever you may be doing and just operate in fear. You got to counterattack fear with the word of God. Because, God, your word says that you haven't given me a spirit of fear. So you know it's got to be coming from who? The enemy. And so why is the enemy want me to be fearful about this situation? Because he already knows that you're going to be successful. He already knows the outcome. And so what he does is try to deter you or to hinder you from your blessing. Because don't think he don't know. Oh, he knows. He knows. Better know that the enemy is mad at us. But we ain't got to worry about him. Because the battle ain't ours, right? It belongs to the Lord. So, really, when we dealing with him, he just picking on us. Trying to make God mad. He ain't no match for God. That's another sermon. That I could deal with that. You know, so he said that do you not see it? I will create rivers for them in the desert, you know. And so this is symbolizes to me God's protection, God's provision, you know, of everything that they needed. Okay? So as the children of Israel, we all know they had a past, right? They'll worship God, then they'll worship other gods. They was doing all kind of things in the old, you know, back then. Today, the only thing God is asking us, if I can give a point one, is that we have to be honest about how we have been rejecting Jesus, how we have been resisting him. Even when he knocks, we know it's him. He'll tell us, don't do this. He'll tell you, no, you're not right for that. But then we resist him, you know, and then to do what we want to do because we want to maintain control. Another reason we want to maintain control because we think we have that thing all together, you know, and we fear the unknown, but then it's already painful what you're dealing with. But then that's what I'm saying, to let it go. I pray right now that some of you are beginning to let some stuff go as this word is being ministered. Because we feel like that if I let it go, what's going to happen? Because it's the unknown. And see, this is why it ain't for you to know what's going to happen. If you put it in God's hand, he got it. He's not going to allow anything to hurt you if you give it to him. You know, you have to put it in his hands. And you'll free yourself and take a whole lot of burden and weight off of you that you carrying if you just give it to Jesus. He said, my yoke is easy, but my burden is light. He'll take it. That's what he's there for, to take it. But we want to hold on to it because we feel like if I let go, it's going to be more painful. It may be. I dare not stand here and say it won't be. But I still will say, too, that it might not be as painful. You know, but you got to know that either or, God has you. God has you. And we all make mistakes. We all mess up. We all have done things. We all have had things done to us. The Bible says that you'll reap what you sow. You know, so sometimes we put stuff out there, you know, it comes back. Sometimes it don't come back the way you put it out there, but you'll know, you know, when it come back. You know, and a lot of times we want to throw the towel in. We want to give up. We want to blame others or do things like that. You know, when it's just we have to make sure that our heart and our relationship is right with God. Okay? So we have to be honest about resisting God. You know, acknowledge your past. As I said, don't sit. Who up in here can do anything to anybody up in here? Who can arrest you? Who can take you to jail? Who can judge you? Because we be so ashamed. I ain't finna get up. I ain't finna do that. They gonna be looking at me. What they gonna say about me? What is God saying about you? How is God looking at you? He's the one. We can't do nothing. We messed up too. I know I'm messed up. I know I am. You know, so things happen in our lives. We've done things. We've had things done to us. I shared this story one-on-one, you know, with some people. And a lot of times we can blame the devil, you know, for things. But sometimes it may be God that allows it, you know, to happen. So a couple of years in my life, if I could be transparent for just a moment, you know, to just share the goodness of God, you know, and that how we be, because I'm just trying to encourage and help y'all, because I can't tell you nothing if I ain't never experienced it myself, about what God would do and how God would keep you. But I experienced something a couple of years ago. Well, I thought I was going to lose my mind. I stressed so about it till I lost weight. I went from a 20 to a 14. That was stressing. Because I had all of my trust. I trusted God. I loved the Lord. But I didn't lose myself in God. I lost myself in another individual. So in actuality, that other individual was taking first place in my life. I loved the Lord. I was Holy Ghost filled. So the time came to where I thought that person would never hurt me because I trusted them and believed everything they told me. I was reading the word, but it was like I was doubting some things that I was reading. See how we can get it twisted? Because I couldn't see God, but I could see that person. And we want things that we can touch. But I believe that God allowed that season of my life, you know, and like I said, he showed me in that time, in that season, who he really was. It was heartbreak. It was betrayal. I didn't know what to do. I was praying, what do I need to do? What to do? What to do? You know, I had support. I would come to this church and just pray because I didn't know what to do, you know, because it was just unbelievable, you know, to me. How many of them went through heartbreak? How many of them went through betrayal? You know, and it made me see kind of, you know, I ain't Jesus, but it made me see kind of how he felt, how Jesus felt when they rejected him, when they talked about him, when they ridiculed him, when they called him a devil and said he wasn't this and said he wasn't that, you know, and this thing here, Pastor Ham said last Sunday, I think in his message, that this thing wasn't done in a corner. I don't know if this is even the same meaning of what I'm saying, but this thing what God allowed to go on with me wasn't done in a corner. It wasn't done secretly. It was put out there for the whole world to see it. Now, Cynthia, what you gonna do? Are you gonna do what the word tells you to do? Or are you gonna do it your way, the world's way? The easy way. The enemy was in my mind. Girl, you ain't got to take that. Mm-mm. Go on. Yeah, you ain't got to take that. Everybody talking about you. Everybody saying you a fool. This the enemy telling, and people probably were saying it. But what God was trying to get me to see was that, are you going to do it your way? Or are you going to do it my way? I prayed so much, the Lord spoke four words to me. And I ain't understand it then. I'm like, I argued with him. I really did. He said, be quiet and be still. That didn't make no sense to me with what was going on and transpiring. And that's what I argue about. I'm like, really, Lord? See, that's the ghetto part of Cynthia. I'm like, really, Lord? You just want me to just sit back and just take all of this, and you know, and I'm just being made a public spectacle? He wouldn't say another word to me. Four words. So then the choice became mine to whether I obeyed him to be still and be quiet, or to handle it. Lord, I wanted to handle it. I wanted to handle it. Had I handled it, I wouldn't be standing before you today. I wouldn't be able to tell any of you nothing today. I'd have killed my witness. I'd have killed everything. I'd have been in prison on the 13th or 16th floor somewhere. But God. And so this is what I'm trying to get you to see, that we as ministers, pastors, preachers, we deal with life. We deal with harder stuff, you know, that can make you lose your mind if it wasn't for the grace of God. So this is, y'all wonder why I praise like I praise. Baby, because God kept me. He kept my mind and everything. He kept me. He protected me. He kept me out of prison, kept me out of trouble. You know, because I'm going back and forth, because I'm in a battle. Both spirits going. Cynthia, you know the way. The devil gone on, do it. Go on, do it. You can go at night. Ain't nobody going to even see you. So we battle with things. Life happens to all of us. Do we ask for it? No, we don't ask for it, but it happens. This is why nobody can judge anybody. The world's way would be, baby. Some of y'all probably sitting in here said it. Baby, couldn't be me. I wouldn't take that. She a fool. I was a fool for God because I chose to obey God. But let me tell you something. Because I chose to obey God, God worked that whole situation out. I ain't in prison. I got my sane mind. Pastor Ham, don't go there. I got my sane mind. Hey, I got peace of mind. I'm still ministering the word, and people are still listening to me. Because one split second could have cost me everything. Everything that I have served God for, all it would have took was 1 second. You know, so life happens, you know, and so God flipped it, you know, and then he allows you some time to see it. You know, that's be like, wow, now I understand. Be still. Be quiet. I ain't understand it then. But if you just trust God to work those things out in your life, it wasn't easy. I ain't going to tell you it was easy. It wasn't easy because one time I walked with a knife. I just like, Lord, I yielded. So sometime we'll yield. One time I'll say, oh, yeah, this it. I'm going. You know, but then I turned around. It was freezing cold. I say, Lord, because the Lord will let you come to yourself. I say, Lord, I say, now, look at me. In the nighttime when nobody couldn't see me. And halfway there, it's like the Lord just say, what you doing? I say, Lord, look at me. I say, let me turn around and go home. I say, it ain't even worth it. You know, and I went home. You be in a battle. You be in a battle. You know, and I pray this helps somebody. You know, to let you know that you ain't the only one. You know, but trust God. Second thing is that Pastor Ham says it all the time, that we have to be very careful that we don't let what happens to us happen in us. Because if we allow it to happen in us, because do you not know that I could be a bitter woman? I could be bitter. I could be mean. I could be hateful and all of this here. But when you allow God to handle it, he just keeps you, and you just stay in the word. You keep praying, and still got my smile. And I still look good, too. To be in my 60s, still look good. I sure do. If I don't think I look good, y'all ain't gonna think I look good. Sometimes you just got to do stuff for yourself. All right, but we have to acknowledge, you know, that we have a past. We can't sit up in here and act like ain't nothing ever happened. You know, that we ain't never been through anything. You don't know who you can help by sharing your story. Because I promise you, your story is going to touch somebody else because somebody else done been through that. You know, and the shame, because I was shamed. That's what I'm telling you. It's like, Jesus, I kind of know how you felt. I said, because I'm shamed and everything. You know, but it was just something in me that wouldn't let me stop coming to this place. I came to Bible study. I came to Sunday school. I even kept preaching. So, see, that wasn't of my own. That was God. And I give him all the glory for that because there's no way that I could have did that, you know. So God, to God be the glory for that. So he'll give you supernatural strength to do some things, you know, that you don't even know how you come through it, okay? So point two is that we have to repent, you know, and ask Jesus for forgiveness. That means simply you just have to confess to the Lord, Lord, I did it. Lord, I said it. Lord, I acted like that. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And you make a turn from that to not do that again. Do you repent to the preacher? No. You repent to God. You know, you might not even committed an action, but you might have thought something. The Bible says that we should repent daily. Now, I believe that was put there because Jesus knew, God knew, we were going to have to repent daily. Because, see, we can get hung up on, I ain't never smoked, I ain't never drank, I ain't never partied, I ain't never did none of that. You know, okay, maybe not. But what have you thought sometimes? What have you thought about people sometimes when nobody can't see you? How is your heart? What you holding in your heart? Because sometimes we can hold stuff for 20 and 30 years. We can smile every day. And for 20 and 30 years, but spirit knows spirit. And the spirit can see beyond that and can see as bitter. And so we front. We come to the church and we front like we got it all together. I just believe in, see, the devil ain't gonna never have nothing to use on me because I just tell it on myself. I tell it on myself, so he won't have to. I am not gonna play with God. I'm not where I should be, but I'm not where I used to be. And every day I'm striving. I mess up. I make mistakes. I say things. I do things that I shouldn't do, but God still loves me. And what do? Lord, forgive me. Help me, God, to do better. I don't want to be like this. You got to be real with yourself. Because you ain't fooling nobody but yourself. And we know when we right, we know when we wrong. You know, and so if God knew that we were going to have it all together and be perfect, he would have never sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. You know, so we have to repent unto him when we mess up, when we do wrong, when we fall short of his word. Go to him. Jesus, I'm sorry. You know, and now, don't just do it because the Bible say do it. You got to really be sorry. When you repent, you got to really be sorry and have a made up mind that I really don't want to do this anymore. Because I may not know, but God knows. He ain't serious. She ain't serious. But it look good to do it. So you got to have a made up mind that you really don't want to, you know, do that anymore. So you have to ask him for forgiveness. He'll forgive you. And cast it as far as the east is from the west. And the problem that we have, that Jesus be done forgave us and moved on. And we still holding on to it. I don't know if it give us some kind of sense of pleasure, peace, or what, that we can't let it go. We want to hold on to it. I don't know if it's going to, well, what would happen if we let it go? I'm asking. But by holding on to it, it's making us bitter. It's making us mean. It's just making us not who God made us to be. We'll act out of our character because I'm holding on to it. And then if somebody say something or either do something that's going to remind me of what I'm holding on to, then guess what? Then I'm going to go off on that person. That person ain't meant no harm, but because I ain't let go of whatever it is that's in me that I'm holding on to, now I'm taking it out on everybody. Because that reminds me of what I'm holding on to. It reminds me of what you did to me. It reminds me of what you said about me. It reminds me when you stepped on my foot and you didn't tell me you were sorry. It reminds me 50 years ago. I asked myself, I say, well, Lord, I say, if I hold on to something 50 years, I say, and the world just be done pass me by, I say, I wonder how many blessings I'd be done hindered from coming my way, from just not letting it go. And it's simple. You just say, bring it to me. Give it to me. How hard is that? You know, I just use myself you know, as that. It's more than just coming to church on Sundays. To say I came to church because you need this job or you need light bill paid or you need gas bill paid or you need some money. We all need it. Rain it down, Lord. We all need it. You know, but we cannot come to church simply for that. We should be coming to church for our lives to change. You know, and we have God painted as this God that we should be afraid of. He's not like that. The God that we serve, that we call Father, is a loving God. There is a wrath to God. You get out of line, sure he's going to discipline us. Don't you do it to your children? When they get out of line, you have to correct them. So he corrects us, but he does it in so much love and mercy. You know, it is not his intent to hurt us in any kind of way. So when we go through things or when we allow things or cause things by choices that we made, it's a really, you should look at it as a blessing that God loved me enough that he don't want to leave me the way I am. You know, so he's correcting me so that I can be better, so that I can do better, because he already knows what he has for us. You know, and he wants us to have it. He wants us to have it. He does. He wants us to have it. You know, I done messed up so bad. I know that God ain't thinking about it. No, that's not the God I serve. Because, baby, I done messed up. And God still loved me. I used to do the same thing, condemnation. Tossed to and fro by the enemy. I do one little thing. Oh, God don't love me no more. And I lived that. The word says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus and to those who love the Lord. So, I condemned myself. I said he didn't love me. I said I wasn't saved and none of that. You know why? Because I was just coming to church on Sundays. I was raised in the church, so I was coming to church on Sundays, listening to the choir, ain't hearing nothing about the word. Ain't hear nothing. Ask me what the word say, Pastor. You ask me now, I might not give you the title. I didn't hear it, but I came, the singing mind wasn't really on getting a better relationship and getting a new life that Christ was offering. And so I left out empty the same way that I came in, you know. And then when things happen, because I thought you just had to live, I said, I can never be no Christian. Because I thought you had to live perfect in this, in the flesh. And I was trying to live perfect in the flesh. And the flesh was messing up. And by the flesh messing up, I thought God was mad at me. I thought God, I was going to hell. I say, I'm going to hell. I say, I'm just going to hell. Just self-condemnation. This is why it's important to be in Bible study. This is why it's important to be in Sunday school. You know, and you can get bits and pieces in church. But when you come to Bible study, you can get it broke down. Scripture by scripture. You can raise your hand and ask questions. You can't do that on a Sunday. But in Bible study, because I'm like condemnation, you know, and I guess what? I got free from that at Bible study. And I was like, wow. I'm like, God, don't see me like that. That was like a brand new awakening for me. You know, and I was like, because I was beating myself up, like a lot of us doing in here, sitting in here today. You know, we beat ourselves up, you know, but it's not about what we do. You know, coming to church is supposed to be to better ourselves. This is just a building where we all come to worship our Father, our God, you know, but you cannot just say, I'm going to church Sunday because I need God to move for me. You know, and he may. I don't know what God going to do. You know, he may, you know, but he may not. So what happens if he don't move? Are you going to stop coming to church because he didn't move for you that time? And that's we get mad at God because we think we want him to perform a magic trick. We want him to move on our behalf immediately. But then all he says is come. And we sit there and say, no, I ain't coming. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. You know, so we make choices to do things our way. We want to hold on to the control. So we have to be honest about resisting Jesus. We have to acknowledge our past actions. We have to ask Jesus for forgiveness by repenting. You know, and then the last one is, once you repent, once you come clean, wipe the slate clean, then you allow God to restore you. Because God is a God. I hear all the time, another chance. But he's a God of first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. As long as you're breathing, you got a chance. Matters not what you did yesterday, last night. He allowed you to be here today. You breathing, guess what? Another chance. Because he's a God of a second chance. He wants us to be better. The only hold up is us. We hold him up. And it's going to take faith, you know, to believe that you have been forgiven, that it's washed away, you know. And so when you ask for forgiveness, I don't think that you forget it, but you don't sit and dwell on it. Because you know that you have been forgiven. And then that leads us to 5 and 17 in 2 Corinthians, where he says, so what this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore. For the old life is gone, a new life has begun. And I think our problem is that we're trying to be new creatures in the old body and keep doing the same thing that we was doing before we accepted Jesus. And so we don't look like new creatures because we still trying to live in the old ways. We still trying to do the thing. We trying to have one foot in here and then the other foot out there. Because I want to please my buddies. I don't want them to think that I'm just a church boy, church girl. You know what? I was, for a long time, I was called church girl. I ain't get offended. It blessed me. I'm like, I'm glad you see that. Because it could have been something else they was calling me. But yes, church girl. Hallelujah. So I'm glad you see that. But a lot of time we try to blend in and fit in with the world, you know, because we want to be liked or we want to fit in or whatever the reason, you know, may be. So it ain't going to hurt, you know, so I'm going to do this, you know, and I'm going to do that, you know, especially in leadership. You have to be very careful. It's for all of us that are God's children. But I ain't finna just do no anything. People may say I act funny. They may say I think I'm all of that. No, that's not it. It's just I live a lifestyle. All of us owe God a godly lifestyle. I'm up in here preaching the gospel. Then the next time you see me at Doobie Shack, dropping it while it's hot, and doing all that with the world. I ain't witness to nobody. I ain't told nobody nothing. You know, so what is that saying? What kind of message is that giving? Is it to say that Christians don't have fun? Baby, I'm having the time of my life right now. We have events up here on the church, and we have the DJs, and we have our music, and I do the electric side, and I do all